You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Burning questions.
Insightful answers.
Listener's Choice.
With Clement Maniatela.
All right, thank you so much for your voice notes, your contributions to the previous conversation. Time for the Listener's Choice feature now. And today we are discussing the role of intelligence in the country. There's a listener who's asked that we bring in someone who can help us understand the role of intelligence in the country. Listener's Choice feature is all about you curating the content with us here on the show. You send me an email on cm@702.co.za if you've got some suggestions or you've got topics you think we haven't really expanded sufficiently on. Just tell us what those are and we'll bring in the relevant experts to answer your questions. It's interesting that we're talking about the role of intelligence in the country while we have been having conversations about the failures of intelligence, right? There are several examples you can cite. So I want us to spend some time looking at that role of intelligence. What can intelligence agencies detect, right? And what can't they foresee? How is intelligence gathered? And I want to hear from the agents or former agents. What did you do when you worked for either crime intelligence or state security? I know we often get calls from agents or former agents who call in and talk to us about the work that they've done as spooks, whether they were analysts and the work they did in that space. So please give us a call on 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. 31702 is the SMS line. Advocate Mahlodi Moefe is going to guide us through this discussion. He's a former head of domestic intelligence at the State Security Agency and is also a practicing advocate now. Thank you so much for making time, Advocate Moefe. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Clement, and Happy New Year, and good morning to your great listeners.
When we talk about intelligence, first of all, how do we define it? What qualifies as intelligence?
You know, we talk about intelligence sometimes without comprehending what intelligence is all about. Intelligence is really, you know, the process of gathering information. And after gathering it, you evaluate it, correlate it, and interpret it. Insofar as security matters are concerned or threats. And then from there, engage with other relevant stakeholders in our country so that we protect the integrity of our country. And we also look at other opportunities presenting themselves for the benefit of our country. So intelligence really is a service to the country. It's a democratic service, and we should not be looked at in terms of or through the eyes of the apartheid intelligence service. Mm. It's a democratic service which must be of service to South Africans.
So what can intelligence agencies detect and what can't they detect? Because often when you look at events happening in the country, especially lately, you know, the first point of blame is where was intelligence? How is it that they were not able to detect this? So what is it really that the agencies can detect and what are the instances where they can't really foresee what's to come?
Well, intelligence, Clement, is a science in itself, a very critical science now, which requires people, highly skilled people, who are able to gather information, see threats as they present themselves, and be able to decipher or interpret what is likely to happen if perhaps something is happening in front of everybody's eyes sometimes, sometimes, well, things just happen brewing, you know, underneath. That's how best I can explain it. For example, if you see that the community, and I want to give a very simple example so that we shouldn't complicate it for our listeners. If you see that in a particular community there is a gangster brewing and they're beginning to trouble the community in a very small way, you know, your task is really to understand why is that gangster brewing, you know, in a peaceful place like Levangeni, where you come from. And try and tackle the situation, understand what are the causes, and from there, engage with other stakeholders so that you nip it in the bud through working and cooperating with those who are tasked to ensure that they get arrested, for example.
So
if you miss that task, you are most likely going to end up with a catastrophic situation. If you foresee that flowing from case X before our court, a volatile situation will arise. The task is to try and ensure that how do you prevent that volatile situation arise flowing from perhaps a court matter. If you fail to foresee that, indeed, you may end up counting big losses.
Yeah, and we've been counting big losses. I think I said in the intro that there are many examples that you can cite of what appears to be failures of intelligence. I mean, we've seen catastrophic situations. We've seen the losses in the July unrest. We've seen attacks on key institutions. We've seen vigilante attacks. So in an instance where we now count the cost and it appears the damage is done, the situation is catastrophic, does that speak to the failure of the intelligence primarily, or does it speak to the enforcement agencies not acting on the relevant intelligence? In other words, does it happen that we may find intelligence sleeping on the job? So quite apart from popular belief that they've got ears and eyes everywhere, can it happen that they just missed something and as a result the country went into chaos?
Well, you see, the mistake we shouldn't do is the mistake which often I hear people say. Intelligence as in state security agency, because there are many intelligence forces. You've got the defense intelligence and the subs and crime intelligence or something like that. The state security agency does not have arresting powers, for example. You see, so when we look at any problem which has arisen, we have to be holistic. There's no ways in which you can blame it on the cops direct, or, you know, you have to look at what basics were done to make sure that the whole problem which has arisen is resolved or perhaps prevented. So you cannot just cut into one and exclude the other parts or these other sister departments. You know, I just spoke about Levangeni because I don't want to go as I don't want to talk about what transpired in July last year, and not because one cannot talk about them, but simply because I think it's important for us to respect that there are constitutional processes taking place to try and understand what really happens, where the flaws were there. And here I'm talking about our South African Human Rights Commission, which has commenced the process, and I think we should give that process a chance. And also, the president appointed a committee to look at those flaws. So I wouldn't want to talk about those specifics because, indeed, there are competent people who are looking at that, and I'm sure we will get a fuller report from those tasks to do that work.
Yep.
So that we can then get to look at where things really went wrong there.
Yeah, I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, I would like you to share with us around intelligence gathering and practically how that often works. And I'm going to go to your voice notes and your calls as well. It's 21 after 11.
Burning questions.
Insightful answers.
Listener's Choice.
With Clement Manyathela.
It's our Listener's Choice feature, and we're speaking to Advocate Mahlodi Moefe, who is the former head of domestic intelligence. A listener asked that on Listener's Choice, we dedicate some time to understand how intelligence works and what the role of intelligence is in the country. Advocate, how does it go? How does it work when it comes to gathering information? So how is that intelligence gathered? Are we talking here about, you know, people, you know, being sent to different communities, different institutions, so that you've got an ear on the ground? How does it work?
Yeah, as I said, Clement, intelligence is a science now. Intelligence gathering, to be honest, and I want to keep things very simple. It is very simple now that we actually even have all sorts of communication platforms. But the best sources to gather information from are the people themselves.
Mm.
I can tell you that many criminal serious activities were started by the intelligence services working together with the police and the Hawks. You know, I can tell you of a simple case where, you know, a member of the society would call me direct and engage and tell me, and then I'll say, come and see me, and I get to interrogate that person. And then from there, after gathering the information, I'll pass it on to the personal. I'm just looking at what I've done without necessarily even spending a cent. And I'll see there is value in what this member of the society is telling me. And then I'll engage with my colleagues in the police force or in the Hawks. And from there, we'll crack a serious Pakistani syndicate, which was robbing banks. And then those people are now doing time.
When you talk about community members, are these just ordinary community members, or are there people that you have contracted or that the state security agency would have contracted to work with the institution, that when they hear they suspect something, then they can share that information with the relevant authority?
Now, Clement, I'm basically saying, as Clement, you are also my source. If, you know, basically, of intelligence, because it is in our interest to protect the integrity of our country. If you see that there are people in your neighborhood or your next door neighbors planning to go and perhaps do a heist, there's no one who will operate in a space where nobody can tell what is not happening there or what is happening there. So I think the basic starting point should be citizens themselves coming up. And in some instances, people are so maverick, people just don't mind to say, we are going to run, I think there is currently what is called Operation Dudula. Now, if you are going to interfere with others, when in fact, in terms of the law, you don't have the rights to do those things. We see that. You should see that as the security cluster and say, no, but people who are tasked in terms of the law to do that, who are they? Are they the police? Or can citizens themselves go and evict people or something like that? And I'm very crude on this because I'm talking about things which we see.
Yeah, yeah. Because I guess
if we fail to arrest those things, you know, at the embryonic stages, we may end up, you know, with serious problems.
Yeah, yeah. I guess what I'm asking, advocate, is so, yes, I can see things happening in my community and that may be wrong, or there's vigilante attacks in my community. There's a difference between seeing that and being concerned, and a difference with seeing that and feeling I have the responsibility to report it to the authorities, or seeing that and saying, actually, I have an obligation to the state security agency to report this matter in case the local authorities don't even know about it. So what I'm asking is, does a state security agency, whether it's state security or it's crime intelligence or it's defense intelligence, do they often have people in communities that they work with who would often share information about what may potentially be a disaster or a criminal activity?
Yeah, well, true. I mean, remember, the State Security Agency or Crime Intelligence, I mean, these are constitutional structures which must have people who must do the job, you know? Yes, you'd have some people doing that job. But I am saying, basically, if we were to say, as South African citizens ourselves, we have a duty not to carelessly be maverick. I've just given you an example where a concerned citizen called me direct, and I engaged with that concerned citizen, and I had to make sure that that concerned citizen is protected at all costs, and engaged with the Hawks to a point where the Hawks made a very big bust of Pakistani syndicates. So if South Africans themselves can basically say, hey, we know that there is state security agents. We know that there is such crime intelligence. Let's volunteer the information without necessarily even wanting to be paid, because we just don't have the money. But we care about our country. We'll go a long way. And I'm saying this because once you get into the mode of payment for service, in some instances, You are bound to get people who will basically sell you even wrong information.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why we'll talk about information peddlers. I'm sure you know. As South Africans, if all of us can get into the mode of saying we want to get our country to work, we want to rid our country of corruption. And I know it may sound very simplistic, because in some instances, those who come up sometimes pay heavy prices.
Yeah, yeah. Advocate, thank you. Thank you for making time. We're out of time, but I really appreciate you coming through. And to the listener who sent us an email asking that we discuss the role of intelligence, I hope you have better understanding of how things work.